Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. Our guest this evening is none other than Esti Wartenberg, who is the sales manager, the director of sales and marketing for Recanati Winery in the United States. Good evening, Esti.
Hi, Chaim. I'm so happy to be here with the Kosher Scene.
And it's a pleasure to have you.
Great. Thanks.
Now, you are in wines. It's not exactly a top profession among Jewish girls. How did you become a wine sales lady?
Well, actually, when I first started in the industry, it actually happened on a whim. It was an impulsive decision. I started almost a decade ago. And
wow.
At the time, I wasn't in the wine industry. I was actually working at a company called Columbia House. I don't think they're around anymore. And they specialized in music. And,
right. DVDs and that
records.
Type of thing.
Yes,
CDs and DVDs, eventually they went to movies.
Yes, movies and videos, and I was actually in the music side of things. So I had nothing to do with wine. I had nothing to do with sales. And an interesting opportunity opened up at a company called the Royal Wine Company. This was over a decade ago, and they were looking for somebody who could sell wine in Queens. So I assume
you lived in Queens at the time.
I did. I still do actually live in Queens. I lived in Queens, and it was local. And I thought, why not? Why not try something? I'm going to take a chance. I went in for an interview. And it was a very interesting interview because I had no idea really at that time about wine. It was a new industry for me. One thing led to the next. And I started off as a salesperson, and through my job in sales, I got so immersed in the wine industry and the wine culture, and it's just such a wonderful industry to be part of. And I, through that, through sales, I learned about wine, and I realized how fortunate and how lucky I was to find this opportunity and to find a career that was so exciting and a career that so many people would love to get into, because the world of wine is the most exciting industry, I think.
Yes, it is
so
very exciting. There are constantly new finds and old favorites to get redone and so on and so forth. For example, there was a time when the Israeli wine industry was considered a world-class joke. In fact, the whole of kosher wine was considered a world-class joke. If you want kosher wine, all you have to do is you buy any wine, you throw out half the bottle, you fill it up with sugar, you mix it well, and now you have a kosher wine.
It's true. I don't know if you remember this. Okay, there was a commercial. I'm gonna be dating myself right now. But there was a commercial. I think it was on 30 years ago. It was the first Ketum commercials on TV. I don't remember what channel it was. And there was a bunch of guys pouring sugar into like a vat of wine, and the guy was like, "More sugar, more sugar." Do you remember that commercial?
That was.
Do you remember that?
Well, I was in Eretz Yisrael.
Like uh-huh.
At the time, I was still in Eretz Yisrael. But I do remember that there used to be another company, Shapiro's, and their jingle used to be, "Our wine is so thick, you can cut it with a knife." Can you imagine somebody trying to sell you wine saying that today?
It's wonderful what's happening to the kosher wine world. People's palates are changing, and I find that the generation that's really interested in wine right now is the 21 to 35-year-olds, the younger generation.
Mm-hmm.
Their palates are so much more sophisticated than it was 10 years ago. That when I'm doing a tasting for people, my most sophisticated consumers are 22, 23-year-old young adults. They come in, they understand wine, they understand varietals, they know how to taste, and also the palate of women have come a long way. When women used to be
absolutely
drinking, you know, sweet wine, women are drinking high-ended wines. They're drinking, you know, whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Their palates are changing. And when I mean drinking, I don't mean, you know, imbibing irresponsibly. I mean tasting professionally, sophisticating, learning how to appreciate liquor products responsibly. That's what I mean when I refer to drinking. It's wonderful what's happening to the kosher wine world.
Absolutely, but you were mentioning about the women being very sophisticated in their wine drinking habits. If you go back in history, into ancient Greece, it was the women who drank wine. No male would be caught dead drinking wine, at least in public. That was considered a woman's drink.
I didn't know that.
In fact, if you look through the Greek tragedies and the Greek plays, and Sophocles and some of the others, it is only the women who drink wine.
That's very interesting. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I always, you know, you always think of women shying away from alcoholic products. And the men, you always see them, oh, the drunk guys are the men, you know. But
right.
It's interesting.
Of course.
That
women know when to stop, as a rule. The exceptions, they know when to stop. Better than the guys.
Women, I think by nature, it is true. We have a little bit more, our conscience is a little
right.
more pronounced. Yes. So I'm very glad. It's a great time for the kosher wine industry, better than it ever has been. Now is really
absolutely.
The most exciting time to be in the kosher wine industry. And people who are wine drinkers, who are wine snobs, non-kosher people are actually experimenting and trying kosher wines because they're so exciting right now. It's an exciting time to be in this industry. Not only the wine industry, but the kosher wine industry is becoming
mm-hmm.
a fascinating world to be part of.
Well, the kosher wines are winning prizes all over the world. They're winning gold medals and so on at just about every contest.
That's
so
right.
So basically, they are great wines that happen to be kosher.
Right, and that is what we all—that is all what we say. And it's true. Right now, we have something that we can actually stand by that terminology. It is the winemakers are experienced. They know how to make wine properly. It's just not—it's not a bunch of, you know, Shomershabbat people who just are making the wine because that is how kosher wine is made. But it's real experience. Winemakers who are making the kosher wine these days.
That's how my father used to make it. He used to make it 21% wine, extra sweet. That's what I grew up with, and if I were to have it today, I would probably keel over. Now that I learned that other wines, you know.
One of these days, I'm going to revisit some of these traditional wines, and just out of curiosity, because when I was younger, that's what we had on our Shabbat table. When I was younger, we had those traditional wines, the Kedem, the Manischewitz. Now, my family wouldn't be caught dead with a bottle of, like, traditional wine on our Shabbos table.
Of
now
course.
It's all about
course.
Great varietals, you know, experimenting with wines around the world. And Israel right now is becoming a major region to be part of. And I'm so happy
absolutely.
To be working with Barak and Adi right now because this is one of the up-and-coming wineries in Israel right now. It's relatively new. Recognati started in 2000. Just
that's it?
Yeah, 13 years ago.
Wow.
Lenny Recognati he's a very well-known financial expert in Israel. A lot of people in the banking world, they know
right,
Lenny Recognati.
Right.
He's an Italian.
The Israel Discount Bank used to belong, probably still does, to the Recognati family.
Yes, his whole family is in the financial world now.
Mm-hmm.
Lenny, he always had a passion for wine. He was a very big wine collector. It was always his dream to not just collect wine. He was a big wine collector, and he tasted wines, kosher, non-kosher, from all over the world. And his dream was, I need to start a winery that makes world-class wine, wine that is kosher. Because it's very important, you know, being of Jewish descent and being in Israel, you know, it's important to have a kosher wine. I know there's some wineries in Israel that are not kosher, but I feel like, you know, if you're Jewish and you're in Israel, come on, you know, make that wine kosher. He was very proud of his heritage, and he wanted to make a wine that's kosher, but a wine that can also be enjoyed by everybody, people that know wine and don't only have to drink it because it's kosher, but they want to drink it because it's world-class wine. And that's what Rick and Adi's message is all about. It's about a wine that is priced competitively against any other wine in the market, not just kosher wine. This is a wine that happens to be kosher, happens to be from Israel, but you're getting a really high, you know, grade wine for the price of that you would get, you know, if it wasn't kosher.
As a matter of fact, Robert Parker, who is considered the greatest authority on as a wine critic, has repeatedly given Israeli wines very high grades in the high 80s and mid, up to the mid 90s. So
and
obviously Israeli wines now command a lot of respect.
It's true, and getting a good grade from Robert Parker is not easy. This guy is top, and he really doesn't care to, you know, please anybody. He's a very good journalist, and, you know, if he gives you a high grade, I mean, it deserves that grade. He's a very
well-known
Robert Parker. Yeah. So,
now,
reports are important.
First, let's talk a little bit about the Israeli wine industry, how it grew into what it is today. Now, when it first started, under the auspices of Baron Rothschild in the 19th century, at the end of the 19th century, the wines, which were made mostly for European types, obviously were extra sweet, because that's what the Eastern European palate knew. Dry wines would have been terrible. In fact, I remember my father once came to visit us here in the States. At the time, he already lived in Eretz Yisrael, and we served a wine that was not particularly dry. It was an Asti Spumante. I served it to my father, and he spit it out, and he called it, well, it's not a word I'm going to repeat over the radio, but you can imagine what it must have been.
He thought it was sour, right?
Right. Horrible. He couldn't understand why people would want to drink something like that. And that was part of my education. Little by little, after I started tasting semi-sweet, semi-dry, and eventually dry, I learned that there is something besides sugar in the wine, something that is A, much healthier, B, much more delicious.
It's true. And why would somebody spend $20 to $100 on a bottle of soda? No, the reason why, there's something about wine. That's why it's so expensive. So, you know, you're not just getting a mouthful of sugar and flavor. You could spend $3 to get a mouthful of sugar and flavor. You're getting something much more. So that's why it's so exciting. It's a great time. It's a great time to taste wine, to get out there, to learn about it. And there's a whole world out there for people to experiment and taste different, learning about different varietals, different, you know, types of wine, learning about different regions that make the wine, what grapes go with the best in different regions. It's a fun
or how to even
vary
it with food.
And that's something that's also great in the kosher world. The culinary scene is really starting to become more sophisticated, and it's making it a lot of fun. Now people are bringing in wine pairings, and there's tasting menus and tapas restaurants. So things are getting, the whole culinary world, kosher world, is catching up and becoming sophisticated and elegant.
Partially it's because of the Baalei Tshuva. Partially it's because, in general, we're becoming more sophisticated.
Yes.
And we are educating our palate. 30-some years ago, when Levana Kirschenbaum opened up Levana's restaurant, everybody at first was laughing at her because they offered dry wine. And it was conventional wisdom that Jews do not drink dry wine. Well, she started the revolution, and her restaurant was wildly successful, specifically because among its many offerings was the dry wine.
That's great. I didn't know that she was one of the pioneers of, the dry wine.
Yeah.
That's great.
She convinced Kedem to start bringing it in from Europe, from France at first, then from Italy. And when they realized that there actually is a market, they started bringing it in serious quantities.
Well, I actually know somebody that was involved at that time when they were importing the French varietals into Kedem back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. My father was actually, had some kind of...
Your father was in the wine business?
Yes, my father's in the wine business. He's there now. He was he was at Royal back in the 70s when they were introducing the dry wines to the American culture.
Mhm.
Yeah. So I remember
now,
that.
Very good.
Yeah.
I'm sure, by the way, that in your career you must have come across some interesting episodes, some funny anecdotes in your selling or marketing wines.
Yeah, you know what? Every day, actually, is an adventure out there on the road. Every day. No 2 days are the same. Every day is an adventure. Every day is almost a story in itself. It's crazy. The people that you meet in this industry, working with, retailers, there's always a story because retailers... they're not, buttoned up executive office people. They're people. They're regular people, and they will say it like it is. So working with retailers, working with people, just working with regular people in sales, it's an interesting job. You have to have a thick skin. You really do. You have to have a thick skin when you're walking in off the street with your little wine bag, and you go into a store. Not everyone's going to be very nice to you. You know, I learned this the hard way when I started in the industry, very naive, very eager to please. I thought everyone's going to be nice to me, you know, and I got literally thrown out of stores for no reason, just because people do that to salespeople. They do that. And it's funny at the beginning because you take it personally. You don't understand what's going on. And then you learn, this is the business. Hey, I'm a salesperson. And salespeople I guess that's the test. The test is if you could take it and it doesn't weaken you and you don't get upset by it, you can hang in there. You can do it. You could walk in to a strange store and just, approach somebody and try to sell them something.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you have a good product, you will always succeed no matter how many obstacles are in the way.
It's true. It's interesting, sales. I'm happy that I'm on the sales end of the business rather than on the wine making side of the business. Being on the sales and marketing side of the business, you learn a lot about people and you learn a lot about society and personality types. And it makes, it gives you a really interesting perspective of the world. I think I learned more my entire life working in this industry, working on the streets and speaking to people than I ever learned in my entire life. It's almost like traveling around the world. When people, they travel around the world and they really get to learn culture and they get to learn about people. When you're in sales and you deal with different kind of people, it's almost like you're traveling around the world and you're speaking to people from different countries and you're learning about them. And you're trying to teach them about your wine. You're trying to teach them about, you know, how they should enjoy and the differences between your culture and their culture, and getting people to learn, getting retailers who aren't familiar with the region of Israel, getting to teach them and getting them to taste wine that they would never taste in their life is so exciting. And it opens up the door to so much knowledge and information. Just it's just such a well-rounded thing to be part of.
Well, one of the interesting things about a winery is that the winery is only as good as its winemaker. Currently, Recanati has Dean Schatzberg. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Sure. Now, Gil is, and I'm not just saying this because, you know, I work with the winery. Gil happens to be brilliant. He really is. He's extremely creative, and I always compare a good winemaker to a good chef. You know, a good chef knows where to buy the groceries, where to get the freshest quality, where the best food comes from, because working with the best produce is the key ingredients. You know, you can make a rotten salad with dressing. It's going to taste terrible. So he knows where to get the best varieties in the land of Israel. And like a really good chef, he knows what to do with it. He knows, you know, when to pick the grapes. It's very important when to pick the grapes, you know, how to mix them, you know, the levels of this. Gil knows all these, you know, scientific, chemical things that are involved with winemaking that a lot of salespeople like myself, we don't really know the technical, chemical aspects of winemaking, but it's very scientific. It's not just we pick a wine and we squish it. It's all the pH balance and the sugar content. Everything has to be at a certain peak. Each type of wine has a certain level of, you know, acidity and this and that. And all this has to be, you know, done by somebody who's learned it. He's a professional. Our winemaker, Gil Schatzberg, His whole life, he was in the wine industry. He was raised in a moshav. He was in Carmel. He was in another winery, and he studied at UC Davis, which is the wine school in California that all the winemakers go to. Not kosher. Every winemaker, all the best winemakers, studied at UC Davis in California in the United States. So he has the education. He has the skill, and also, He's creative. He experiments. We have some really interesting blended wines that make things more exciting just plain varietals, like the Petit Syrah Zinfandel. It's an interesting combination. It's an interesting wine that it's exciting. The Cabernets are delicious. Merlots are delicious. But sometimes going out of the box and taking a chance and experimenting can open up just a whole experience. So a lot of our wines, we have some really interesting blended wines that are new on the market right now. We just came out this year in 2010 in our Reserve series with a Reserve Syrah with 3% Viognier in the blend. So it's mostly... the Syrah, as you know, is a red grape, but a Viognier is a white grape. And this is very typical of a lot of French wines. They put a little bit of the white wine into the red wine. And a lot, you know, people in America, this is new for us because you're like, wait a minute, you can mix the red wine and the white wine? But it's being done, and it's really interesting because you get, you know, you have that rich, thick, you know, delicious tannins of the red wine, that when people drink red wine, this is what they're looking for. They're looking for the mouthfeel. They're looking for the tannins. And then you get that little sharp, you know, acidity kind of at the back of your palate that makes it go, this wine's exciting. There's layers here. you know, you get the tannins, you get a little bit of a pinch from the, you know, acidity. So the creative, you know, the creative side of Gil shows through with a lot of the Reserve series. That's what makes the wine, you know, different, exciting, that there are layers in the wine. There's something different about Recanati. There's something creative about Recanati. We don't just, you know, yes, we follow, Gil does the techniques and everything professional and the way it's supposed to do, but there are some interesting aspects in his winemaker that different from other winemakers that are more creative and more fun. And people, you especially see it in the Reserve series. Our Reserve series are very well known, they're very respected, and we're expanding the Reserve series. So it's exciting. A lot of exciting things are going on at Recanati. I know you know that we are, we're actually, Gil is going to be in town next week.
That's correct. And as a matter of fact, that Syrah Viognier wine that you mentioned is going to be one of the choices at a tasting at the Igal Fedida Gallery on 1482 First Avenue between 77 and 78 next Wednesday evening at 7:30. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the wines that will be there? How many wines? What type of wines?
Let's see if I remember. I want to focus on the Reserve wines. So I do have one of the wines, our series. We have, which is my favorite wine, the Shiraz, which is not a Reserve wine. The Shiraz is in our Recanati line. It is unbelievable. It is now Mavushal, the only non-Yasmin wine, the only Recanati wine is that is Mavushal in the United States is the Shiraz. That's it. Most of a Recanati is not Mavushal. So the Shiraz is Mavushal. It is unbelievable. The vintage that I'm going to be showcasing is not, I think it just started, you know, being bought into the stores. It's brand new. It's 2011. So we're going to have that. We're going to be having the Reserve Merlot 2009, which is probably the best Merlot I ever had in my life. And I have people who don't like Merlot, who are real Cabernet snobs, like, no, I don't drink Merlot. And I force them to taste the Merlot because they're, you know, they're, oh, I don't drink Merlot. So I made them drink the Merlot. And they said, you know what? I don't really like Merlot, but I like this Merlot. It's a very full-bodied Merlot. It's a very exciting Merlot. You have all the aspects of a Merlot. You have all the berries and the currants and everything you expect from Merlot. But it almost has like a Cabernet bite. It has that mouthful, that richness. The Merlot Reserve is unbelievable. It's so much fun. Even the regular Merlot, Recanati Merlot, is great. So the Reserve, you can imagine how good that is. We're going to be doing that. We're going to be we're going to be showcasing the Petite Syrah Zinfandel 2010, the one that I was talking about, that I think is a really interesting and creative blend, very exciting wine. We are going to be showcasing the Reserve Syrah with the Viognier. I saved the best for last. We're going to be showcasing the Carignan.
The white Carignan is wine that I find very interesting, and I can't wait to taste it. I've tasted white Carignan from other wineries, and it's always been a surprise. I remember when I lived in Eretz Yisrael in the late 60s, early 70s, Carmel had made a Carignan at the time that was horrible. And for a long time, I refused to touch Carignan. At the tasting last year, I got hold of a wild Carignan, and I could not believe it. Either my palate had graduated, you know, or the wines got better. Maybe it was probably a combination of the two.
It is, you know, something. The first time I ever tasted a Carignan, I was expecting almost like a Merlot or a Zinfandel or something. And it was a very almost like a funky kind of a metallic-y taste, like a shocking taste.
Right, right.
And then when you start drinking it, You either love it, or you don't get it. That's the thing with Carignan. You love it or you don't get it. It's very interesting wine, and I like to see people's reactions. I think that 70% of the people that I tasted on love it and are just like, oh, my God, this wine is unbelievable. And 30% of the people don't get it. They don't understand what it's supposed to taste like. But it does. It's not a Cabernet. It's not a Merlot. It's a Carignan, and it's a very intense varietal. If you like to experiment with wine and you want to try something big and rich, you'll love it. If you're learning about wine and you're expecting that fruity sweetness, kind of, it'll scare you to death, the Carignan. But I love it. I love showing it at the tastings because people who know wine love it, and the people who learn, you could tell who knows how to drink wine and who's learning about wine when you show them a Carignan.
Mm-hmm.
So what else are we going to be showing? We're going to be showing our special reserve, which is our flagship wine, the special reserve. We have the special reserve white, red, and brand new to the market, we have the Special Reserve White. Special Reserve White just got released, I think, before Rosh Hashanah this year. It's a 2010. It's a blend of Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, and Viognier. It's an expensive wine. Our Special Reserve White is expensive. It retails for $75 a bottle. It's excellent. And I love the fact that we have a really expensive white wine on the market. People are starting to appreciate expensive white wines. And it's a lot of fun.
Well, white wines are also coming of age. For a long time, white wines were considered the stepchildren of the wine industry. But it's changing.
It's true. And rosé also. I'm finally starting to get guys to drink rosé. You know, men used to be so afraid to taste rosé because it's pink. But now men are starting to appreciate it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting. It's, you know, people everywhere opening up their minds. Women are drinking dry wines. Men are drinking rosés. People are starting to understand that, you know, there shouldn't be a stigma with wine. It's a great beverage, and it's a lot of fun, and it makes everything more fun. It definitely makes things fun and enjoyable. And you're going to be at the event next week.
Of course.
Right? Okay,
absolutely.
Super. And you'll
see
Gil
is there.
Actually. Oh, it's going to be, I'm very looking forward to it. Gil is coming. Gil is going to be giving the presentation. He's going to be
mm-hmm.
talking about the wines himself, and he's going to be tasting the wines with us. And getting, you know, going through the wines with the winemaker, there's nothing like that. He really, because he knows.
Of course.
Nobody can answer questions like Gil can answer questions. So it's going to be a great Q&A. It's going to be a really great event. And he's going to be, you know, showcasing, you know, the best of Recanati at this event.
And the event is... Excuse me. And the event is this coming Wednesday, January
right.
the 23rd, from
yes.
7:30 to 9:30 at the Igal Fedida Gallery. Igal himself is a very, very talented modern painter.
I
who
heard.
Specializes,
I heard.
Yes. Every one of his works is revolving currently around the theme of Breshit, the first pasuk in the Torah. And even though they are abstracts, once you understand the basic philosophy of what he's doing, you can understand every single one of his paintings. It's very easy to get into the artist's head once you realize what his theme is. Extremely talented, very spiritual, superb speaker. He's also going to be speaking a little bit about his art. And this will happen next Wednesday evening, the 23rd, at 1482 First Avenue in Manhattan, between 77 and 78.
Right. And I know you could purchase tickets through the Kosher Wine Society website. The Kosher Wine
That's
Society
correct.
Is going to be hosting.
And it'll be a lot cheaper buying it online than buying it at the door.
Right. Yeah.
And it's limited to 40 people. It's a small gallery. And aside from wine, we will also have cheese from the Cheese Guy, French
right.
and Italian cheeses. And
right.
Brent Delman, the Cheese Guy, has an incredible selection of cheeses that you never would have thought would exist in the kosher world. And we will also have desserts from the world of Chantilly.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
They make
some
of the best pastries, some of the best cakes you can find in the kosher world.
It sounds like a great night.
Absolutely. A night of wine and art. What more can one ask?
Cheese and chocolate.
That's right. Yep.
Complete.
And we're just about out of time. I want to thank you all, ladies and gentlemen. And please see us again next week at the same time, at the same place. Thank you very much.